Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and I can't stop laughing, I don't know why. But today's show, I hope you will enjoy, got another indie sci-fi thriller on our hands, one called Prodigy. It made the rounds through the 2017 Film Festival circuit and will be available for you to purchase or rent on March 13th, this coming Tuesday. You'll find it on all your favorite digital hangouts, and yes, we will have links to where you can view it in the show notes, but for right now, let's get to that interview. Hi, and welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guests right now are director Alex Hoy and actors Richard Neal and Savannah Lyles. We are talking to them about a new indie sci-fi thriller out called Prodigy. Should be available on video on demand on the 13th, March 13th, correct?
That is right. It'll be everywhere. iTunes, YouTube, Google, Amazon, everywhere.
Excellent. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hi. We're glad to be here.
Now, this movie is an intense little indie sci-fi thriller. I was very compelled from the very opening moments. Now, my question for Alex is, what inspired the story? Where did this little thriller come from?
It's interesting. Brian and I had worked together for a long time. We met at school 10 years ago. And had worked together on a lot of different projects over the last decade now. And we had gotten really good at making something cinematic out of nothing resource-wise. So we put our heads together and decided it was time to apply those skills to a longer form. And used kind of put some limitations on ourselves in terms of trying to think of and brainstorm an idea that we could actually pull off whilst utilizing that skill set. And so we bounced a lot of ideas back and forth off each other. And this specific one actually came from Brian had won a log line contest with a log line a couple years ago that isn't exactly a one-to-one log line of what Prodigy is, but it's kind of the seed that was planted that the whole idea blossomed out of. And so once he put that on the table, we both took to it very quickly and had an outline and a first draft of a script written in a couple months, probably. It moved pretty quick once we zeroed in on what we wanted to do. And then it took us about a year of refining the script before we were really ready to give it a shot.
Excellent. So give our listeners an overview of what Prodigy is about.
Yeah, so Prodigy is a, like you were saying, an indie science fiction thriller that centers around a psychologist who comes into this weird government facility and he's getting wanded and patted down and put through the metal detector. And eventually, oh, and he's warned about how dangerous this patient is that he's about to encounter. And finally, he's put into the room and he's sat down across from a little freckled-faced, red-headed 9-year-old girl. And the movie becomes about him peeling back the layers of what's going on here. She starts dissecting him like Hannibal Lecter and is proven to be super intelligent, and some supernatural elements then get mixed in. So I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of layers that are peeled back and in the runtime, and a lot of discoveries that are made throughout the process.
Nice. Now, Richard, you play Dr. Fonda, and the reserved way that you approached this character intrigued me from the get-go. What about this character drew you in to wanting to do this project?
Well, right away, I thought the key to the character was a sense of empathy, and that he had personally been beaten down, because if you can see from the his backstory, without giving too much of the film away, that he also suffered a horrific, you know, tragedy in his personal life, And the very fact that he's coming into this room and finds a troubled 9-year-old girl, sort of these dormant paternal instincts, and he's a very empathetic character, and he's specialized in working with troubled youth, and he has a great deal of compassion for them. And so there's a way of, it's almost like a his favorite sport is playing chess. So it's sort of like working out a mystery, a detective story in a way, like how do I bring out, because I know there's a troubled child there and somebody that can be healed. And I think there's a sort of a journey that he goes on emotionally and psychologically, and, you know, and this connection that he feels for Savannah, Ellie, is a sort of a healing process for him as well. So I think the thing about it, he's obviously an intelligent person, but also he likes working perhaps in a sort of untraditional way. And finding a way, because every patient is a mystery, and every problem has a different way of trying to find a solution. So I think the key was just to connect emotionally and bring out the purest feelings of this wounded person and try to heal them. So it's a really beautiful, beautifully written character.
I thoroughly enjoyed how it seemed like there was a parallel between playing chess, using the game to draw Ellie out, but also you were using chess methods to try to get around her psychological defenses. And if the character was written that way, or you just ran with it that way, in both cases, that really added to a level of in just an intriguing element that kept me hooked to watch the movie.
Yeah, that was all Brian and Alex's doing, the writing. I mean, it's really clever about the trying to bring somebody out and break down her defenses a little bit without being cruel. Almost like the patient is revealing themselves and it's sort of a chink in the armor of this hardness that she shows. And that's, he's grasping at straws, and it proves effective, the strategy.
Yeah, we were definitely aware of trying to look at actual, you know, chess maneuvers and things like that and work those kind of tactics into the way Fonda was, you know, obviously the way he approaches his analysis of this patient too. Even from the title, Prodigy is kind of associated with chess in certain ways. So we wanted to try and find as many ways as we could to like really infuse the story with that subtext.
And it was very well done. So congratulations on that. Now, Savannah, your performance as Ellie really got my attention, because there was an element of superiority, disdain, and a sort of undercurrent of creepiness that you only find in the children that Stephen King writes. So that was a compelling and wonderful performance. Thank you.
Thank you.
What about the character of Ellie drew you to it?
Well, kind of that she, when I was reading the script, I kind of saw that she was trying to be tough on the outside and act all scary and stuff, but she really was a kid and felt bad and just was kind of showing, the way she showed it was through being tough and being scary and mean, and she was trying to build up these walls, and throughout the movie it's about her and Jimmy like breaking down these walls And I thought that was really interesting.
Now, did you have any particular way you wanted to play her, or were there any sort of guidance that you hung on to? It's like, okay, this is her mindset. This is how I'm going to do this.
Well, the way I kind of saw it when I was reading the script is I thought it would be cool if there was kind of, you could see her. In the beginning, you can't see any emotion from her. She doesn't show any emotion, but throughout, she gets more and more soft, in a way, I guess.
Yeah, that gradual breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really just seeing the little hints of emotion cracking through at just the right times was really, really subtle. And I think literally, if someone's watching it, if you blink, you miss it. But the subtle gameplay going back and forth between Jimmy and Ellie, while you have this very, very angry bunch of soldiers in the background saying, get out of there, let's just get rid of her already because she's too dangerous, was
right.
Because you literally have a ticking clock. You have a limited amount of time to either break through, or either something bad will happen to everyone or something bad will happen to her. And that sort of push and pull between the stakes, the different types of stakes, added an element of suspense that surprised me. I was like, okay, wait, it's either this or that. Is he going to have enough time to break through? Are they going to save her? Are they not going to save her? And I was really compelled to just keep focused on the film the whole way through.
Great. That's high praise. I would say that Savannah was, she definitely is too cool for school as is, so it's pretty easy for her to be too cool for everybody else.
I think she's definitely the rock. She's definitely the rock star of this film. Now, Savannah, did you know much chess before you got into this? Did you have to learn anything, or was everybody faking it?
It was faked the entire time they moved the pieces for me. I still have no idea how to play chess.
You should learn. It's fun. I loved it when I was a kid.
But you know, like, you know, her character thinks chess is boring anyway. So again, you know, she's too cool for school.
Oh, goodness. So, how long ago was this made? How long has it been on the festival circuit?
So we went through the festivals last year, and we actually, I mean, this is actually, the release is basically 2 years from when we finally finished shooting, which is crazy. So we shot in 2016 in mostly February, and then we released in March of 2017, and now we're in 2018. So it's been a long time coming, which is kind of crazy to think about, but I think that's kind of the process, you know, for this kind of movie that's going to go get some attention at festivals and then try and gather a little momentum and get distribution and a release date the way we have. So you have to really want it. Otherwise you're not going to make it through this process, I don't think.
Yeah, it's definitely the marathon run. Now, when you guys were on the festival circuit, Richard and Samantha, were you guys able to attend any screenings and get feedback directly from audiences?
We had a great opening in CineQuest up in San Jose. Really, most of the cast came up there.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that came up.
Fantastic. It was really the premiere.
Right, and we had, you know, probably 700-800 people came to that screening. It was wild. There was a lot of people there.
Wow.
And Savannah's from Sedona, Arizona, as we mentioned, and we screened at the Sedona Festival, and so we had sold-out crowds there, and she got to come back to her hometown and bring the movie home, which was awesome.
Then I feel like I've counted how many times I've seen the movie. I've seen the movie 11 times because of screenings and stuff.
And it's great every time.
Well, I would hope that the audiences are responding quite well to it, because, like I said, I really enjoyed this, and it's not often you come across an indie film, especially one that's taken so much love and time and just dedication. And every time they come across my desk and they're really good, they're really fun, I want to tell other people about them so they can watch them too.
Right. That's great. We're glad that that's how you feel.
That's
But
great.
the no, the festival audiences responded overwhelmingly, was just incredibly positive. And it was a really satisfying experience, because the biggest, I mean, notes we got from people in that process was that, A, they were really drawn to the Savannah's character, which was kind of our hook. We knew from even the conception phase that, like, if we can get a kid that can handle this kind of part and really carry the movie, like, we'll have something that people will respond to. And so that was really satisfying, because that was kind of from the beginning what we were going for. Yes, big dust it off, Savannah. But the other note we get is that the scenes between these two that really, like, that just electrify people. They really love the way that they spar with each other verbally, and the way that they eventually make a connection, and the emotionality that ends up coming into that relationship. And so I really, that was always the best part to me, is because we spent so much time crafting this movie specifically for audiences to react in certain ways at certain times. And we got, I mean, so much feedback about people from people in the theater just reacting as they're watching, and afterwards, that really validated a lot of those moments we put a lot of time into. So, I mean, it was an incredibly satisfying process, doing the whole festival circuit. And now we're hoping that that carries over to a broader audience. And I'm going to be very curious to see how they respond to it.
Yeah, so will I. I do have one question. Where did you film this? Because finding a room like that cannot be easy.
Oh, well, we didn't technically find a room like that. We worked with some great people at in Riverside, California, which is just east of LA. They have a really great film commission there, and they have these incredible perks that if you come shoot on county-owned property, you can basically shoot for free. And so we ended up in this old abandoned animal shelter, which Savannah will tell you was, she's pretty sure it was haunted by ghosts of animals walking the halls. But we, found this, they had this big activity room. Those two rooms are actually one big room, and we built that wall in between and lined the walls with all that stuff, and built that place into a government black site as best we could, which was challenging at times, but we had free rein basically, because it was abandoned, to just do what we needed. So we could take doors off and put things up and build fake walls and string things up on the ceiling so that we could do special effects. It really was, and we got all that for free, because it was owned by Riverside County, which, for a small budgeted movie like us, was invaluable.
Excellent. So I have to ask Richard. There are a couple of scenes where Ellie loses her temper, and Jimmy goes, shall we say, tumbling across the room. Was that you, or was that your stunt double?
Oh, I wish there was a stunt double. No stunt double.
Was one on one shot. You got doubled. Remember the one shot where you onto the table with
Who's my double?
remember Gary, the stunt guy? He had the wolf dog that he came in, and
Oh my gosh, that's right. I
yeah, it
forgot.
was such a character. He was such a
The
crazy
character, yeah.
guy.
Right, there was one little.
And so there's one part where he gets thrown onto a table, and that guy did the land on the table. But besides that, it was all Richard.
Yeah,
Around.
it was not that. I think it's a trick of the camera work.
Yeah.
Makes it look more precarious than it is. It's flying through the air, the
Yeah,
table.
you did some flying through the air of your own, Richard. You landed on the ground and got pulled around and yanked, and you got your knocks in.
Yeah, I'm game. I'm game.
And Richard would have landed on the table, but we were too concerned. He's too valuable to the process.
Yes, as an aficionado of stunts, I was like, oh, that was kind of a hard landing.
Savannah was just doing stunts off camera, acrobatics and getting swung around. She was worrying us. We were just hoping she wasn't going to break her arm doing something when she wasn't on the camera.
But Savannah had a double.
Yeah, Savannah had a double too. With Richard, to Richard's credit, you know, a lot of times you see Richard acting, it's with either Savannah's double or against a wooden board, basically, because Savannah was only 9 when we were shooting, so we only got her for limited hours every day, so we had to make the most of getting her shots in, and then Richard would have to go back and circle back and do everything again with us so we could get his close-ups.
Nice.
It was either my double, board, or Coco.
That's right. Our script girl stood in very often. She would sit on an apple box to be at the right eye level, and Richard could look down on her and deliver his lines.
Excellent. So what are everyone working on now as they've moved on to new projects? Savannah?
I have a movie that's in post-production right now, and then I'm just auditioning. So
you were up for another feature movie, right? Didn't you just do an audition for it?
So I had a director session for a Warner Brothers movie.
Ooh-wee.
And my agent asked for feedback at the same time my mom sent a letter to them.
Oh, no.
They got my agent's email first, and we found out that my agent called and said that they said that they liked me, but they didn't think I was right for the role.
Oh.
So I was bummed for about 2 days, and then 2 days ago, we got a call from casting saying they want me to take the second scene again.
What? Who's the story?
Well, that's
here?
Good. That's good.
Put me on my heels.
I'm sorry. So.
Well, hey, good job, Mom.
From what I hear, callbacks are always awesome. So, good luck with that.
Yeah, she's gonna be a big star.
So, Richard, how about you?
Well, I've been doing more voiceover lately. I've got a couple of video games. I have something that I recently did for a Netflix graphic anthology series. I'm not even supposed to mention or talk about it, but it's going to be on Netflix probably not till 2019. But I'm one of the lead characters in that. I've got a couple other little indie films coming out, one called This Much and another one called Nothing Like the Sun, which is a period piece, takes place in the 40s. But right now, that's all I've got going on. I'm about to take my daughter on a college tour back east.
Oh boy.
Alex, how about you?
I am, let's see, what am I doing? I've been so buried in Prodigy promotion in the last couple of weeks, it's hard for me to remember. I have a script that I wrote before Prodigy that I'm now shopping around town trying to get attachments on, that if I can get attachments, I'm going to try and take and make into a feature film as my next project, which I'm very excited about. It's a female-driven revenge thriller, so it's a good time for female-driven thrillers, I think. And then I have another script that I have been writing, which is a really cool idea. It's kind of a satire of the tech and application culture we are in right now, which I think is a really fun idea that I've got some people interested in reading, so that's good. And then I have, as Richard said, I've worked in video games some before on the cinematic side of those, and my partner in crime in that neck of the woods is dangerously close to getting this game we've been working on for a while off the ground. We're pitching it at Microsoft next week, so it's really exciting. So I have kind of a lot of coals in the fire, and I'm trying to figure out which one's going to ignite first, and I'm going to go from there.
Awesome. Well,
and the big, I always have to give the shout out, because the biggest development is that Brian, my co-director and writer, who is under the weather, otherwise he would have been joining us, has gotten a job. He's worked as an editor professionally, mostly, and based on his work on Prodigy, was able to secure a new position as an assistant editor at Pixar, which is pretty
nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah, so he's moving on up in the world.
Cool. Well, I'd like to thank everyone, Alex Hoy, Richard Neal, and Savannah Lyles, for your time today. Prodigy is the movie. We will have links to where we can find it. The website is prodigy-movie.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, prodigy-movie.com. And then we're on Facebook and Twitter. The handles are at Prodigy Movie, no spaces or anything in there. So I think you can find us easy enough if you look for us.
Excellent. Well, we'll have links to where everybody can go purchase a copy of or rent a viewing
rent,
of
purchase, do whatever. It's okay.
Of
whatever
the movie. I highly recommend it, and hopefully soon we'll be seeing Savannah as an X-Men.
Yeah, Savannah can this character can take off and absorbed into one of the big comic book universes somewhere.
I think so. She definitely has the angry glint of a Marvel mutant or one of DC's metahumans.
She's a good malcontent.
Oh, thank you all, everyone.
Thank you so much.
We're glad. We're excited to see. We're excited to hear ourselves and get out to your guys' audience. We think it's an audience that's rife for resonance with our movie. So we're very gracious that you were willing to have us on.
No problem. Anytime a movie or web series or TV show is worth seeing, I am more than happy to sound the trumpet. Thank
awesome.
You again.
Thank
everyone,
you,
and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician, and you are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
I truly love finding these little gems of movies in all sorts of out-of-the-way places. They just pop up out of nowhere, and I love them. They are really good. Most of the ones I've been coming across lately have been really, really good. Or if they're not really good, there's a hint of potential in there where just maybe a tweak here or maybe a little bit more budget there. It could have gone from okay to, hey, this is pretty cool. And I will watch them. I will support them because you never know when you're going to find that one story, that one film that says, wow, they made this on a shoestring and a dream. And you never know if that movie, that experience talking about making that movie will inspire someone else to go out and say, you know what, screw it. I'm going to do the film I have in my heart, in my head, and that way we keep getting good indie stuff. And with people like Amazon and Netflix and Hulu casting a wider net for that, I guess what used to be the B movies that would come out in the theaters, stay in the theaters 2 weeks, and then hit late night cable. I'm looking at you, Beastmaster. You were a gem. Wait, there's not enough time to cultivate a cult classic anymore. A movie can be just a cult classic, an underground hit, a word of mouth hit. It doesn't matter as long as it's telling a good story and has some really, really good performances, some good execution. I mean, effects, you don't need a whole ton of special effects to make a good movie. A good psychological thriller, a good horror movie. You can make, you know, sound effects. Just sound effects alone can make a terrifying horror movie. And yeah, we like the spectacles. We love the big explosions and stuff that you see in the Avengers, the Marvel movies, the DC movies. But I think maybe Hollywood's starting to realize that that's not the entirety of a really good movie. So look forward to some more indie movies coming up soon. A couple horror, a couple sci-fi. We will get through them all as the spring and summer seasons come along. Hopefully with the film festival season heating up, we'll get a few more in there too. And speaking of good blockbuster movies, yes, still working on putting together a roundtable discussion about Black Panther. And I'm really looking forward to doing a deep dive into that. If we don't rein ourselves in, that could very well end up being a 2-hour show. Just warning you, we're not going to hold back on that one. But for now, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, do you have any indie sci-fi favorites that have been overlooked? You think should get another look? Anything in the past year or two would suffice nicely, especially if it's still available for purchase or rent. Give me a call. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to more Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and Krypton Radio. If you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let other people know that you are enjoying the show and maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. You can follow us on Facebook and on YouTube. We are Slice of Sci-Fi at both of those locations. And of course, we have the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on over, leave a comment on the show. Some of these filmmakers do respond to comments left on the website for interviews that they've done. So jump on in, join the conversation there. We also have Writers After Dark and Pop Culture Geeks. And yes, we are still taking submissions requests for contributors for all three websites. Again, use the form on sliceofscifi.com or send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. I'd like to thank everyone for your support. Your pledges through Patreon do keep things running around here, literally keeping the lights on. So thank you everyone who is continuing to support all we do here. My heartfelt thanks goes out to you. It really means a lot to help keep these sites on board, online, and serving up content for everyone to enjoy. There's also a paypal.me link if you just want to make a one-time donation. It's in the show notes on the website. Either that, or if you want to become a regular patron, you can go to Patreon. It's patreon.com/sliceofscifi. We have an interesting, you know, back of the house discussion on perks for people who are pledging at the higher levels. You can get a couple books and DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K Ultras throughout the year as benefits, as bonuses, perks for the higher level submissions. I'm still working out the details, but give me some feedback on that. If you're truly interested in some extra bonuses from all the goodies we get here, let me know. Because in my current situation, I don't have a lot of room to keep this stuff around like I used to. So finding it new geek homes would benefit me greatly. I'd like to throw a shout out also to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for their musical contribution here on the show. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. If you want to hear more by them, you can go to their website, sci-fried.com, and check out their new album, Hyperspaced, while you're at it. It came out November, December. You'll have fun with it. I know I did. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.